All right, we're live. I couldn't find my mouse, so hey. I couldn't push the live button, so we were struggling. I'm Big Tuna.
Yo, Snapper.
One Embargo, Book 2, Chapter 4. Pairing yes. Habanos with stouts. I've already been drinking stouts, if you haven't been noticing.
Yeah.
I'm a little inebriated.
And as for me, I'm exactly the opposite, Seth. I'm still at work, and after I get done with the show, I'll go do some more work.
Yellow Snapper is chilling with his ficus plant, doing his thing.
Well, it looks like he's getting water, so that's good.
All right.
The leaves look green. It looks healthy.
All right. What are you smoking? Is that the half Corona?
Yeah, which, you know, I'm really drunk, but they seem really small.
Dude, they're small. I love those.
They're small in general, and I love them, but, like, tonight, I feel like I'm smoking Bilbo Baggins. We're going to move forward, though. We're moving on.
All right, so let's get down to what this one's about.
What is this? So, what are we doing? What is this about? We are pairing.
Seth and I thought about kind of like a continuation of the pairing show. And then we thought, it's winter. What do a lot of guys drink in the winter? The heavier stuff, i.e. stouts. And to my knowledge, I don't think there's ever been a show that's done with Cuban cigars for big beers. And in this scenario, stouts.
Ground fucking breaking.
Yeah.
Groundbreaking.
Right. And if you've seen it from us first. So cigar aficionado starts to dick us. Not going to happen.
When David Savona says, hey, I thought of this idea. Yellow no. Snapper. Yellow Snapper did. So
all right. So
but this is a bold concept. And you know, a lot of other people have been saying, whoa, why are you pairing a Habanos with a stout? And it's a very good question.
No, it's a great question.
I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
I don't even know why we're doing it. But we're doing it.
No, but you know, when we were thinking about it, we were thinking, well, wait a minute. Maybe if we do like a Maduro, maybe that'll pair well naturally with the stout, right? Like conceptually makes sense in my opinion.
We were – the biggest question I think we had to go into this was, yeah, let's get some stouts. Let's get a Russian Imperial Stout and a barrel-aged stout. That was easy. And then the question we're like, man, what are we going to smoke with it?
Right.
Because it's like there's some obvious things which are like push the red button, no. Like Cohiba, no.
Right.
You know, Cade d'Orsay, no, not just because of the pairing, just because we don't smoke Cade d'Orsays.
Seth doesn't smoke Cade d'Orsay.
I don't smoke Cade d'Orsays. So we're like, well, let's go with a Maduro. So we went with the Cohiba Maduro, which is just a classic shitty cigar. And then we picked the HM and Half Corona, which you and I both love. Catfish even loves it. I think everybody who smoked this loves this stick.
Oh, yeah. So the methodology that we took was, so we decided to pick two stouts, one regular stout and one barrel-aged stout. And then we decided to pair both of those stouts with two different cigars. So in terms of the beers, Seth and I both had the same one, which is the North Coast Brewing Old Rasputin. The non-barrel aged one, and then we separately picked barrel aged stout of our own. I went with Founders 2015 KBS, and Seth, which one did you go with again?
I've been catching up on Game of Thrones, and so I've been seeing a lot of tits and some hairy pussies. So I went with Dragon's Milk.
All right, run on.
No, man, dude, have you ever watched Game of Thrones on HBO?
No, apparently they talk about hairy pussies in there.
You've never seen Game of Thrones? Watch Game of Thrones and you'd be like, wow, Seth was drunk, but.
But he was right.
He was right. So, no, I am drinking New Holland Dragon's Milk.
Cool.
Which is also a, there's a cigar that CLE did, no, Asylum CLE did with Dragon's Milk, which is cool. Which is a very popular barrel-aged stout.
Yeah.
But you chose Founders.
Right. First let's talk about the cigars that we picked. So we picked two cigars. One of them we picked was H. Upman Half Corona. Do you know what box or what year and month that was, Seth?
Yeah. Let me find out.
Okay.
I got to find my iPhone.
Okay. So while Seth...
I think I lost my iPhone. It's right here. It's right in front of me.
Wow. You are fucking hammered.
I'm gone. We're moving on.
Okay. So we decided to do that. And then a Cohiba Maduro. What size Maduro was that?
Dude, you got to go like one question at a time.
Okay. So first with the H. Upman Half Corona.
Let's just talk about the H. Upman Half Corona because it's one of those sizes that some people say, why even bother? You'd agree. And then after smoking them, you're like, wow, these are like crack cocaine.
No, for sure. So let's talk about that, man. So what I did was I first drank and tasted the beers by itself, and then I also tasted each of the cigars by itself. So getting into the H. Upman Half Corona. So I did all this last night, by the way, because I knew about work and all that stuff. So I said that the Half Corona, when I was just having it by itself without pairing anything, I love that. It has the H. Upman profile to the T, but in a very distinctive, bold fashion. And from first light, it just gets straight to business. It's delicious. A lot of deep earthy notes of cedar and barnyard, a lot of roasted nuts. It's a very like great medium full body smoke, and it's super creamy. And it's got a pretty good, you know, black pepper spice to it, especially on the retrohale.
This Half Corona is from April 2013.
Okay, cool. So we got about a year and a half or so on it.
Yeah, and the Maduro I want to say is probably the box goes in my house. It's around the same year. It's around the 2000. It's if I recall correctly, it's spring to late 2013. So we're looking at same ages. You and I both smoked this from the same box. I sent them to you.
Yep. But going back to the H. Upman Half Corona, I mean, I'm really looking forward to actually getting colder and smoking a bunch of these this winter. So
it's a great winter smoke. I think
I think in terms of these smaller, like Petit Corona-ish type or Rothschild-ish type, Vitolas, I would put these over the more popular part of the shorts.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I mean, I'm a huge H. Upman fan to begin with. But it's one of those when I smoke H. Upmans. You know, I love Magnum 46s, and I think that's really where I started with the brand. But then as I got older, I got more into the number twos and the Sir Winstons, and that's typically what I go for. Mm-hmm. For that H. Upman flavor profile, you don't have a lot of time, maybe it's the winter. The Half Corona is an awesome smoke, and the price on these things is fantastic that you can go through them very easily.
I think when I bought two boxes of them, I think it was two winters ago. And I think for a dress box of 25, and I think it was somewhere in the range of like 100, like right around, hover around 110 or 105 bucks a box.
Yeah, I got mine for around 100, and it's you look at the price, you're like, wow, really? Like, what is? It's a no brainer in my opinion, and it's for the price of what it is. Depending on what you are, if you're one of those smokers that you don't have a lot of time, no matter what, or if even if it's cold a lot, pick up boxes that have Coronas because you'll smoke through one box very quickly.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. I mean, it's, you know, and sometimes I prefer having two of those back to back as compared to like firing up like a Robusto or something, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's another good comment. I mean, whether you want the Connoisseur A1 Sir Winston. These HM and half Coronas are really fun. Mm-hmm. It's not full commitment.
Right.
And then the other one we had was the Cohiba Maduro 5. And we smoked the middle size, which we smoked was the Magicos, which is
right. That's what it was. What you did the mouth cigar? Were you able to smoke it by itself?
The Magicos, yeah, the 4.5 by 52. Yeah, I smoked the Maduro 5 by itself, and it's. I know anyone who smoked a Cohiba Maduro 5. There's a level of utter disappointment. I don't know. It's just disappointing when you smoke them. It's just one of those things. You're just like,
you know what, man? So you say you were disappointed, right?
It's, you know, there's a conflict, and I'll admit to it. Is when you see the name Maduro, and you also have to remember when Habanos and Cuba Tobacco came out with Maduro, they came out with that Cohiba Maduro, without a doubt. To reach out to the American market. I mean, there was no question about it.
Yeah.
And when you smoke a lot of Maduros on the American market, especially, you know, you're getting a Connecticut Broadleaf or you're getting a Mexican San Andreas, mm-hmm. you're getting those flavors. So when you smoke a Cohiba Maduro 5, it's nothing like any of those.
Right. But the thing is, for me, I expect it to be that. Like, mm-hmm. because I've had the non-Cuban renditions of, you know, just Maduro wrappers, just ripe, you know, dark wrappers. I expect it to taste like the NC counterparts.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and it's at the same time, it's nothing like a Cohiba. So it's very, and right. I guess, and that's where, you know, kind of change the subject a little bit. That's where when I smoked the Partagas Maduro, you know, when I went into the Partagas Maduro, I wasn't expecting anything like a non-Cuban Maduro. Mm-hmm. I was expecting something more similar to a Cohiba Maduro, and then I smoked it. I was like, wow, this is actually pretty entertaining. Mm-hmm. Even though it's not fantastic, it's a fun smoke.
Yeah. No, I agree. So, you know, I don't know what it is, the fact that maybe I haven't had a Cuban cigar in a while or I smoked too many shitty NCs lately. but – I actually thought that the Cohiba Maduro that we had for this review was good. Like, I mean, I wouldn't go out and buy a box of them, but, you know, I think I would get a fiver and just kind of stash it. So here's why I say that. The last time I had a Cohiba Maduro or just any Cuban, well, actually, that's the only Maduro for Cuba that's out. I had that back when I first started smoking CCs, which is like,
I don't know,
6-7 years ago. And one of the first boxes I bought was the Cohiba Maduro, but I got the Genios ones.
Yeah.
And that was a box of 12s. I think it was a box of 12s. I forget. Anyways,
probably 10 count box.
Yeah, it was not good, dude. Like, it was like, it seriously tasted like just ashtray. Like,
yeah, it was bad.
Like, you're just ashing the ashes into your ashtray, and it's just like that acrid, charred, tarry, like disgusting shit. But when I smoked the actual Cohiba Maduro that you sent us for this, you know, I was actually pleasantly surprised, like, because I went in there expecting that it's going to be shitty. but I also felt like, you know, I also knew that, like most Cubans, it's typically a milder, more complex, nuanced versions of any non-Cuban cigar that's out there, right? So I kind of had those perspectives, and I got actually a lot of good milk chocolate. I got this like sugar cane, like sweetness to it. It's a very light body cream. And I thought that, you know, the spice-wise, you know, you're not going to get much on a draw, but when you retrohale it, it's, you know, pretty well-mannered, you know, slight spice. So I actually thought that it was enjoyable. Like, again, it might be totally because of all these crappy NCs that I've been reviewing lately, where I was reviewing some like super spicy stuff where I was just kind of like, dude, like, you're going to give me so much spice that I can't even taste the nuances of the other flavors. So I actually liked it, like, to the point where I'll buy a fiver. And I rarely, rarely say that. And the people that have read my Blind Man's Puff reviews, rarely, rarely do I say I'm going to buy any of the cigars that I review.
Yeah, it's. I will admit that the Maduro 5s that I've smoked out of the box that we've had haven't been as bad as I've had them in the past. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's nothing I'm like, yeah, this is incredible. It's right. Just, you know, for what it is, I'd rather get a Cohiba or something else. And that's just where I am with the Cohiba Maduro 5 in general.
Agreed. So let's talk about the beers that we had and on a standalone basis, what we thought of them. So I'm going to first talk about the Old Rasputin. So yeah. To give you guys a little background about Old Rasputin. So it's from a California brewery called North Coast Brewing. And it is a Russian Imperial Stout. North Coast Brewing, by the way, and I've been there. It's in Fort Bragg, which is actually an old naval base or army base of some sort. And it's right along the California cliffside. Beautiful place. So within the actual Russian Imperial Stout. So kind of just first talking about what a Russian Imperial Stout is. So typically it's something that's like rich, deep, like kind of a full body flavor. You know, not a lot of IBUs. And something that, well, you kind of think of like an adult. The way I think about it is like an adult milk chocolate, like chocolate milk sort of thing. So in terms of Russian Imperial Stouts, you know, the color is typically like jet black, ABV in the range of like 8 to 10. Yeah, so do you want to – well, actually, let's go in and talk about
the biggest thing to talk about with Russian Imperial Stouts is why they're called Russian Imperial Stouts as opposed to regular stouts, because there's a lot of variety of stouts, and that's because these were stouts that were brewed for the Russian Imperial Court back in the late 1700s, 1800s. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, anyone who's been to Russia, and I've been to Russia, especially in the wintertime, mm-hmm. it's fucking brutal, man. It sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm from Northern New York. And then when I went to Russia, I was in Moscow in St. Petersburg. It's cold as hell. It's brutal. I mean, why the hell people thought, hey, let's invade this country. It baffles me. So it's a little bit higher. Intensely, the alcohol content, I believe, is also a little bit higher on them as opposed to regular stouts. But it is darker, I feel like. It's more mature, mm-hmm. very rich.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when you have something like Old Rasputin, and for those of you who don't know Rasputin is, just slap yourself, because I'm not going to explain it. I have better things to do with my life. It is very, to me, it is a great example of Russian Imperial Stout. It's very rich. It's very filling. It mm-hmm. it has flavors which are dark. They're very, it's pounds you. It's very Russian-esque. It's not elegant. I wouldn't call it elegant in the sense of, you know, especially when you get into wine terms, it's almost like, you know, you could say a Pinot Noir is elegant while a Malbec's not very elegant. It's in that lines of, it's just very bold. It says what it's doing, and that's what the Russian Imperial Stout is. And it's, if you love Russian Imperial Stouts, I love Russian Imperial Stouts.
Yeah.
And I love Old Rasputin because of that.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting about what you said about elegant, when I think of a term like elegant, I think about like, you know, I don't think about beer. I think about wine, right? Like,
yeah.
And also at the same coin, on the other side of the coin, rather, when I think elegant in terms of stouts, I think Old Rasputin is pretty elegant as compared to most barrel-aged stouts where you taste a lot of that bourbon heat. You know what I mean?
It's, and I guess where I come from with that is, and this is my, what I drink mostly is I drink a lot of triples, I drink a lot of quads, and I drink Russian Imperial Stouts. That's what I drink. Triples, I think, are the most elegant of the beers I drink.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed.
Then you have quads, which are a little bit heavier.
Sure.
There's also a flavor profile to it, which is almost like it's this cross I get that's like, wow, it has this wine characteristic, but it's beer.
Right.
It's very intense. There's a lot going on to it.
Yeah.
And then you have a Russian Imperial Stout, which and this is me, and I could be totally wrong, and I'm sure some beer snobs would be like, you're a fucking idiot, blah, blah, blah. I just don't look at them as being as elegant as a triple.
No, I completely agree. Because
they deliver what they're intended to do. But let's face it. I mean, knowing history, there's a big difference between Belgium and Russia, and what the hell they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, completely different styles, man. I mean,
exactly.
You can't compare them. And then you also throw in, let's say, the American palate for like incredibly hoppy, you know, high IBU IPAs, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
You can't compare them. It's like, you know, you like that flavor profile or you don't. So
it's, you know, and it was funny. I was talking to a friend of mine, and she was just touring with, you know, with her boyfriend. She was touring some breweries in Asheville, North Carolina. And she was talking about, there's this beer place, Funkatorium, which is all American sours.
Oh, nice.
And she does not really like American sours, but she's a very big fan of Belgian lambics and a lot of these spontaneous sours out of Belgium, because she feels that they're a little bit more flavorful and they're not as intense as some American sours.
Yeah, I could see how that blanket statement would make sense. Yeah.
Mm. So, that's my view on Old Rasputin.
Yeah. So let's talk, you know, quick, you know, notes on what we thought of the Old Rasputin and just drinking it by itself. What did you get, Seth? If you could, you know, you could pull your memory from it.
If I can pull my memory, it's just, to me, I don't really get into analyzing beers as much as others. It's just very rich. It's malty. There's some coffee, chocolate notes, but it's just very. That's how I describe it.
No, that's exactly how I describe it. The thing I would say is, the Old Rasputin had like a, not to sound homo, but you know, it had a really nice like creamy mouthfeel to it.
There's a creaminess that comes with it. I'm not gonna lie. There's nothing homo about that. And it still was. Hey man, it's a brave new world. It is. It does have a creaminess to it, but then again, I think you know, Guinness or Murphy's, there's a creaminess with that as well. I think there's a creaminess that comes with stouts.
And you know what's interesting is the beer is actually 9% ABV, and I could not taste that at all. Like, it's masked really well, I thought.
Yeah, it hides it well. I mean, I actually didn't even pay attention, but for 9%. It's very well hidden, and maybe that explains why I am how I am right now. But it's a really good Russian Imperial Stout. The one thing I'll say is I know that they North Coast also makes a barrel aged Rasputin,
right?
Which I don't think, what's it called, barrel aged Rasputin?
Yeah, it's just barrel aged old Rasputin,
which I love. I think it is. Much better than the Russian Imperial Stout, but I love that one. And I'm sure you've had it more than I have, but it's.
Oh, yeah. I actually went and did a tasting of like three different vintages of barrel aged old Rasputin, and man, they're good. And they age well. Like most barrel aged stouts, they age really well. So, cool. So let's talk quickly or just talk about the next beer that we each chose. So I chose a so Founders, which is a brewery out of Grand Rapids in Michigan, and I chose their Founders ABS, which stands for Kentucky Brand Stout, I think. So just to give some people about the whole KBS, it's, you know, in the whole beer geeking world, it's always highly sought after. It's released once a year, typically in early April to like late March timeframe. and people really look for it. So in terms of the actual beer, what this beer is, they take a Imperial Stout formula, and what they do is they'll barrel age it, and they'll add in coffee and chocolate, and then they just they say that they cave age it in oak bourbon barrels for a whole year. So the alcohol content is pretty high. It's like 11.2, which is actually like similar to most bourbon barrel aged stouts out there. 70 IBUs, which is actually less bitter than the Old Rasputin, because Old Rasputin has 75 IBUs. Just, you know, when I drink it by itself, I feel like this beer is kind of overhyped.
Yes.
I, you know, don't get me wrong. I do think that it is a good beer, but I don't think that it's worthwhile to chase down personally for me. And I say that also because, you know, at this day and age in the U.S., we have so much good beer to get a hold of. And I'm very lucky in the sense of being in California and getting a lot of what California has, especially out of like San Diego and the Bay Area in general. And even like up in Truckee with like 50-50, which I really enjoy. And of course, you know, Firestone, like the Parabolas and all that stuff. So anyways, I thought the beer was really good. You know, it's bourbon barrel aged. So given that, you should expect certain flavors of like the bourbon heat. I got a lot of vanilla, coffee, like coffee, which makes total sense because it's brewed with coffee. And then I got the chocolate as well. And I got this like a sweet raisin sort of a thing going on. And it's a really good beer. It's a really complex beer. Like, I mean, you could just, once it gets up to temperature, just sniff it, and it's delicious. So
there's that sugary sweetness that comes with bourbon barrels.
Yeah, for sure.
And you get it with, I mean, I got it with Dragon's Moat, which I'm talking about. One of my favorite, Boulevard quad bourbon barrel. You get that. You get that sweetness. But yeah, it's KBS is solid. And you know, I know you and I said it, and a couple of people are even chimed in. There's some who are like, oh my gosh, KBS.
Yeah,
it's all that there is. And it's great. It's great. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
but really, it's like I'm much more a fan of Backwoods Bastard by Founders.
Oh yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah, which, you know, I was buying some beer the other day, and because it's it's getting to be that time of the season where it's like Backwoods Bastards is in, and it's like,
yeah, yep,
four packs. I just
Breakfast Stout too. Breakfast Stout just released too.
Yeah, Breakfast Stout's out. Breakfast Stout is another great one. But then again, their Founders Russian Imperial, their Imperial Stout's just as good as well. Right. That's a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. So, Seth, what'd you go with?
I went with the, you know, I'd say it's pretty well known. Maybe I'm wrong. The New Holland Dragon's Milk, and I have the specs here. So it's got 11% alcohol, 31 IBUs.
Oh, that's pretty low.
Yeah, but it's
is that a barrel aged milk stout? Is that what that is? Do you know?
No, it's a bourbon barrel stout. It's not a milk stout.
Okay.
But to me, I've always really liked Dragon's Milk just because it gives you a little bit of a stout flavor, but it also has you get that oakiness. There's some chocolate. There's this hint of vanilla. It's you get that bourbon quality to it. Mm-hmm. It's just really, it's fun, complex. I think it's a little bit more complex and a little bit more, I guess you could say, elegant than the Old Rasputin. But it's just a little different. It's not, I think I'd probably say KBS is a better bourbon barrel stout, but once again, I'm not one of those guys that goes for bourbon barrel stouts. I'm typically more of a Russian Imperial stout.
Huh, interesting.
I like quads that are bourbon barrel. You know, mm-hmm. Latrobe has a really good one. Boulevard, Squad, that's bourbon barrel. It's really fun.
Yeah.
But that's just where I am as a beer guy.
Yeah. No, it's interesting because I'm the opposite of you. If I'm going to drink a big mealy stout, I need the kind of I look forward to the bourbon bite and like the higher ABV usually.
Yeah.
Or else I'll just get really full from it and just, you know, want to just like fart all night long.
Well, it's funny because, you know, my wife spent some of her time, you know, spent some of her life, I should say, in Ireland. So she is like she's 10 times more stout than I am. And she's like, "Oh, you're always drinking quads or triples, blah, 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 blah." But it's, I mean, she's more into the stouts. So when it comes to the stouts, that's her area of expertise, but it's just, yeah, it's bourbon barrel. I think there's a lot of really good ones. I still think that the Rasputin, is that bourbon barrel?
No,
that's the,
oh, the barrel, the one barrel, that
old Rasputin. Yeah,
I believe so. I got to double check, but I'm pretty sure. I think so.
Now I was with Drew Estate and Royal Agio Balmoral Cigars, mm-hmm. and we went to La Trappe in Belgium.
Yeah,
and they're nice. Quad, and they have their oak age quad, and then they have their quads. Mm-hmm. Now their oak age quads, they have a variety of oak barrels, but what was really cool was that they had a Woodford Reserve. Oak barrel. So it was pretty sweet to see the oak barrel, you know, for Woodford Reserve being used for the La Trappe quad, and then, you know,
did you taste that?
Not that I'm aware of. No. I mean, we did have an oak aged quad, but I don't know if it was from that barrel. We didn't.
Oh.
It was in the aging room at the time.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Dang, that's cool. Mm-hmm. So given these, you know, tasting these cigars and these beers on a standalone basis, at that point, I made an assumption, a prediction, if you will, on what I think will be good pairing. So
I want to know what you thought would be the good pairing. Let's start with the H. Upman because that's what I'm smoking right now.
Sure. So I thought that the H. Upman would be better paired with the barrel age beer, i.e. the KBS, because I felt like within the H. Upman Half Corona versus the Cohiba Maduro, that the H. Upman had more deeper pronounced flavors and especially had more spice to it than the Cohiba Maduro did. So, and then I thought, well, because of these fuller characters, I felt like it'll pair better with the barrel aged rendition of the beer. And then I thought that the Cohiba Maduro would pair better with the Old Rasputin because it's a lighter smoke, and the Old Rasputin is the lighter of the beer of the two. So,
would you say the H. Upman Half Corona is more complex, a more balanced smoke than the Maduro 5?
More complex, more balanced. I would say that it is more complex, but I would say that it is not more balanced. I mean, that the Half Corona within that box, there's still a youthfulness to it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't think there's any like ammonia or metallic notes to it to any extent, but there's still a bite to it from especially that black pepper spice that I got.
Don't you love it? That isn't there that love it, to it? I love it.
Like, I mean,
I love that with a Half Corona.
Yeah, like and I've learned to really appreciate like the non-Cuban, like Aganorsa leaves. You know, like that boldness.
Oh, yeah.
At the same time, it's bold, but at the same time, it's complex, and at the same time it's well-rounded in a sense that it's just a really well quality made cigar as compared to just having one note just spike and then drowning out the other notes. So I do think that the Cohiba, you know, maybe if I were to smoke that in the morning like just with water, that I'll enjoy it more. But I mean, there's like almost no spice present in that Maduro.
No, there's very, but you know, it really goes back to this is what I appreciate about the Cohiba Maduro 5, and there's very little things I appreciate about it. Many people think that when you have a Maduro and you have a darker wrapper, that, oh, it's stronger. Mm-hmm. This is going to be full strength in your face. This is what it is. Boom. And sometimes that's the case, but that's not what the intention of a Maduro coloring is. That's not what the process involves in doing that to the wrapper.
Right.
It's meant to, it's meant to be very rich. It's meant to be very flavorful, very sweet. But it's not like powerful. And the Cohiba Maduro 5, I think, delivers that in some ways.
I agree. I think it delivers all that you said. And then plus the creaminess, right? Because usually Maduro wrappers, you get a pretty large sense of like, almost like a, some of it is like a medium full body, sort of a sweet creaminess to it.
Yeah, the Maduro 5s are always medium.
Yeah, but like solid. I was going to say, within those notes that you just said, I got those in the Cohiba Maduro, but I got it at a lot of those notes were faint. Like you kind of really have to like search for it. And it's not, it doesn't just jump out on your face. Like that half Corona one, right? Like the nose just, it's very prominent. It's very distinguishable. It pops.
It has that H-up. Yeah, the Maduro 5, I feel like it's just, it's nutty. It's cocoa. There's a little bit of toastiness to it. There's some wood, but it's very smooth. The H-Upman, H-Upman, I think in general, maybe this is one of the reasons why I love the brand so much. There's a lot of curveballs. There's a lot, you can get a lot of spice, you can get some wood, there's some sweetness to it, there's a lot going on to it. And to me, that's why I go for, you know, H. Upman and Juan Lopez. Is it's kind of in that same area, even though very little bit different.
Yeah, for sure. I could totally see where you're coming from on that. Moving on, the actual pairings, so this is the methodology that I went. I decided to, you know, light both of those cigars up. I mean, at that point, I already had both of them lit up, right? Because I tasted it by itself. And then I first told myself, all right, I'm going to taste each cigar with the old Rasputin first, because I didn't want the barrel age and a higher ABV to mess up my palate or fuck my palate up, I guess.
Yeah.
So I first did the half Corona with old Rasputin. It's weird. Like, and you'll kind of see what I mainly got out of all of these tastings. I thought it was a good pairing. I didn't feel like it was bad. I didn't think it was anything amazing or revolutionary. I felt like the cigar still held the same flavors it did when I was smoking it by itself. But for some reason, out of the cigar, I got a lot of this, a more of a pronounced, like roasty, like toasty notes to it. And with the beer, the main thing that I noticed is it made the beer a lot sweeter and creamier as compared to drinking it by itself, which I don't know why that is. I don't know how that is. That's what it did.
Yeah.
But overall, you know, it's nice, I guess, because, you know, pairing them, it didn't take one thing. It didn't dominate. And they were not competing flavors or off-putting flavors. But I will say that a lot of the nuances of tasting each of those things by itself really got dominated. Like, I tasted no coffee. Or like in the actual cigar, like that really, it's almost like this like deep earthy, like barnyard sort of a flavor that I get a lot of the half Coronas that I smoke by itself. Like that was absolutely gone, because all I could really taste and replace that is like the roasty and toasty notes of the actual beer itself.
Yeah, the Russian Imperial style just.
Yeah. So, I'll just finish up and talk about the other one too. And then, you know, I'll give you your opportunity to talk about your pairings with the old Rasputin. Does that sound good?
Let's go with the H Upman half Corona, because I moved on to the Maduro. So then I'll chime in with the half Corona.
Okay. So you want me to talk about
Let's talk about the half Corona with the KBS now.
Okay, cool. So when I had the half Corona with the KBS, I didn't like it. I felt like the beer's barrel age factor and the higher ABV and like the bourbon bite was overtaking the nuances of the cigar. I couldn't taste any other coffee note that the KBS had. And the darn thing is brewed with coffee. and in general, I felt like the cigar was really drowned out by the beer. And within the cigar, really, all I really could taste is like the black pepper. That's not even within a regular draw. That's within just retrohaling the cigar and cedar. And at times, I felt like the cigar tasted bitter. And the only explanation that I have for that is perhaps it's because it's due to the bourbon barrel aging and having that extra higher kick of the ABV and then the bourbon bite. So,
yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, it's weird too. Like, you know, when I was doing this last night, there was often times where I had to be like, okay, going back to it, smoking it again, drinking it again, cleansing my palate with water. Like, I did so much of that to just be like, all right, am I really tasting these things? Because what I actually tasted was very different than what I originally thought I was going to taste.
Yeah.
So Seth, you want to talk about your pairings with the Old Rasputin?
Yeah, you know, looking at the HM and half Corona.
Yeah,
the HM and half Corona. Old Rasputin and the HM and half Corona. It would be as if having your two quarterbacks on a team. You got your starting, your backup quarterback as Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. It's like, why do we have it? To me, I just don't think they go well together. I just don't. I think that the Russian Imperial Stout overpowers the H. Upman Half Corona, and it takes away, and this goes back to my elegant thing, it takes away the elegance from the H. Upman Half Corona.
Mm.
Which some people say the H. Upman Half Corona is this great winter smoke, which I'm not arguing with them, and I think it is a great winter smoke.
It is.
It's that perfect short smoke. It's cold outside. Just don't fucking smoke it with a Russian Imperial Stout. Period. Right. Done. I just don't think the two go side by side. When I smoke it with the Dragon's Milk, which is that bourbon barrel stout, which is a little bit sweeter, there's a little bit more of a flavor profile, I think. I think there's a little bit more complexity to the actual stout. It's not as intense.
Mm-hmm.
I think it helps out the half Corona. But once again, I think the Dragon's Milk is just still a little too much over the half Corona.
Yeah.
I think there's a sweetness that comes with the two. I think they pair a little bit better. But overall, I would not say it's the best of pairings. I mean, if I had to choose, I'd probably go with the Dragon's Milk. But it's not like a choice of, oh, yeah, this is clearly the better option. I don't think that's the case. So I kind of agree with you, and I kind of disagree with you in that sense. It's just one of those things that, and you know, someone even made the comment on Facebook to us, does a Habanos really go with a stout? And it's a fair question. It's a great question. Yeah. I mean, when we were thinking this up, you know, even you and I were talking about this before we even did this. We're like, hell no, this ain't going to work. I mean, I just thought of the entire Habanos portfolio and Cuba Tobacco, and I was like, what the hell are we going to do? And our initial reaction was like, well, let's just go with a Maduro. I mean, that's just where anyone's first reaction would go. And maybe if we had, you know, a Connecticut Broadleaf or a Mexican San Andreas, maybe we'd be in a different boat. Mm-hmm. But that's not what we're looking at right now. We're looking at Cuba. Mm-hmm. So that's where I am with that. I'd probably go with the Dragon's Milk. I didn't pair it with the KBS just because I don't have any KBS. Mm-hmm. And going through the hassle of finding a KBS would be a pain in the butt.
It's not worth the chase, dude.
It's not worth the chase. And you know, these people, and you know, to all you guys who out there who love KBS, you know, props to you. If that's what you love, that's what you love. That's awesome. If that's what you get, that's what you get. If you're tracking it down, like spending the big bucks on it, mm-hmm. you know, hey, good for you. Yeah. You know, that's what I'm going to tell you. If you, but now that I'm a little inebriated, I'm going to be telling you, you're a fucking retard. there's plenty of good stuff out there. I mean, it's just like, you know, to all you who are so excited about, oh, I got KBS. And if my Seventh Chance founder sees this, you have a great bourbon barrel stuff. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's great. But like, really? I mean, yeah. Fucking shit. Really?
So here's something that I will say about the KBS is, so
it's got a cool fucking logo.
Yeah. Well, not really, but whatever.
True.
So the 2015 KBS that I had yesterday, that actually came out back in like April of this year. And something about
it's a spring release.
Correct. So, but the thing is, typically,
here's a question for you really quick. You're brewing a barrel aged stout. You're in California. Mm-hmm. Honest question here, Yellow Snapper. No bullshit. I'm looking in your fucking eyes. Do you want to drink a bourbon barrel stout in the springtime in California?
No.
No. I'm Stephen A. Smith, son. No. That shit does not fly. It's like the Dallas Cowboys, 2-5. Pass them on.
Yeah, it's like, well, for that matter, pass on the whole fucking Niner team. But anyways.
Exactly.
Seriously. I mean, no, you're right. What I was going to say was, in general, California weather doesn't really call for stouts. Let's be honest.
Yeah, that's true. Right? You guys got like, Rob Lowe, drink some Chardonnay. Yeah,
like, and really, people that live in Florida, why the hell would they especially drink stouts? But I got a buddy of mine that just – he loves stouts, and he drinks a ton of stouts over there. But
is he in California or is he in Florida?
Florida. That's even worse than here.
Where is he in Florida?
In Sarasota. You know where that is?
Yeah. Does he do cocaine? I mean, why the hell are you drinking – why are you drinking stouts in Sarasota, Florida in the middle
of spring? He might do it. You know, I got to ask him. He's not going to admit it, but he sure has a lot of beer.
It's like Miami Vice. He can go hang out with Crockett and Tubbs. I mean, there's very few places – springtime, middle America, that are drinking.
Oh, agreed.
Bourbon barrel stouts.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, and I know Robbie Raz, he's going crazy over his KBS. San Francisco, and my Giants just lost, and my 49ers. Colin Kaepernick is.
He's a tool, man. Put Gabbert in there. I don't care. Put him in. Anyway.
You know what? Are you a 49ers fan?
I was when Justice Smith and Aldis Smith was there because they were Missouri guys.
Who was that quarterback that you guys had in Shadon?
Alex Smith?
What was his name?
Shadon? What do you mean Shadon?
Yeah. You fucking got a little injured and then you like bench him and you put in Colin Kaepernick.
Oh yeah, Alex Smith, who's now the Chiefs quarterback, of course.
Yeah, well, the Chiefs suck, but that's not Alex's fault. I'm just saying that Jim did wrong there, and that's why he's at Michigan, and that's why Michigan State stole that fucking punt from them.
I also think, more importantly, that the Niners ownership are a bunch of fucking idiots, and all they care about is corporate money because they just built that new stadium, and it's all about corporate shit.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of like the Colts right now. Colts, it says.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, let's fuck Peyton Manning and pave the way for Andrew Luck.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways.
So
let me talk right about along. The Cohiba Maduro and the pairings with those. So Cohiba Maduro with Old Rasputin, the beer got completely drowned out. You know, the only thing that I could taste out of the beer is maybe a slight increase in the sweetness and creaminess. Again, cigar tasted similar to what it tasted like by itself. So my conclusion with that is it was not a good pairing because I can really taste the beer. And then with the Cohiba Maduro with the KBS, I said that the KBS sweetness and creaminess is a lot more prominent. I could still taste that bourbon bite. But I felt like the nuances of the KBS is lost, which is what I said when we were talking about the half Corona. So, like, for instance, I tasted no coffee I tasted no vanilla. I tasted no dark ripe fruit that I tasted at all when I had it by itself. So,
and it's an interesting way of putting it.
Yeah, I mean, and really, I guess to sum it up, of just my overall experience doing this.
Don't do drugs.
That's yeah, don't do drugs, and don't live in Sarasota, Florida. You know, unless if you want to be, unless if you want to be a Daytona, you know, trash.
No, hey, Sarasota, Florida guys, we love you.
All right, so summary. I said in general, and I know this is kind of a funny remark, but it is what it is. I said to get the best out of the cigar and the actual beer. Don't pair them.
Don't pair them. That's right. Yeah, you're absolutely, because you know when I'm smoking the Maduro 5 with the Old Rospio, Maduro 5 trumps Old Rospio, which is kind of odd. I did not expect that to happen, but it did. The Old Rospio just insane. But when I paired the Maduro 5 and the Dragon's Moat together, these two did the best job of delivering the worst qualities of each. That it's just like, throw the cigar, dump the fucking beer out, and just don't fucking do it. That's how bad these two were together. It's just no go. It's just not happening. That's right. I dumped that shit. I threw that shit. Don't do it. It's just not meant to be. I'm grabbing my H Upman Half Corona, and I'm just going to smoke it.
All right. So in addition to what Seth did.
How many people, you know, this is the first time of many things, but how many people have dumped a beer and thrown a cigar on a cigar podcast? One person. Me. Fucking big motherfucking tuna.
That's like, great.
Cam Newton, Superman, Monday Night Football.
All right,
I'm gonna be smelling bourbon barrel stout for about.
You're gonna months. Smell, dude. That shit is not gonna smell good. Trust me.
What's I'm, gonna get, I'm gonna have to get my hose in here and water it all down. All
right. I think that in general, don't pair any cigar with booze if you want to get the most out of it. And at the same rate, don't pair any booze with cigar to get the most out of it. Drink something that'll cleanse your palate, i.e. water or club soda, right? Like something that'll just keep you hydrated and cleanse your palate. I think that
water or coffee, I think. It's just one of those. I think coffee in the sense of just like a cappuccino or like an espresso just for –
yeah,
for fun. But you're like, right. It's gonna in some cases overpower the cigar,
right?
But I just think it's one of those nice things, especially in like if it's the morning.
Dude, like if you're smoking, any coffee will make a cigar taste better. So to that extent,
unless it's Folgers, and then right. Just
don't even try. Well, if you're drinking Folgers, you shouldn't freaking smoke cigars because you don't appreciate the nuances and flavors of cigars, though.
Hey, you know what the best part of Folgers is? Wait. Best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. Never mind.
What the fuck? And I said also, to sum it up, pairing stouts with Cuban cigars, not a good idea because it really drowns out. Yeah, it kills the nuances of the cigar. I mean, and it also kills the nuances of the of the beer.
It ruins the Old Rush Butin, the bourbon barrel stout. It's just not, they're not, just not meant to be.
Yeah,
maybe we need to take on triples next time,
you know. That's a great point, dude, because I think Belgian, you know, the doubles and the triples, I think that they might work.
I don't drink doubles, but I'll try it out for
the future. Okay. Well, you know.
Well, we'll try it out. We'll try it out.
Yeah, because I actually got a ton of different Belgians that's just chilling in the cellar. So
just chilling.
Yeah.
Chilling in the cellar.
So
But yeah, I mean, I think the whole experience was like, it was all right. I mean, it wasn't anything, you know, great.
It was a successful disaster.
Yeah, it was a successful disaster. And
we truly proved what not to do.
You know what's crazy, dude, is when I see people put up pictures of like what they're smoking on the forums, like they put like some baller, you know, whiskey and then some baller cigar, like hard to find LA, whatever stuff. And then they're pairing it together. I was like, why would you do that, man? Like,
yeah, just smoke the cigar. And which makes me go back to what I was thinking. And I'm going to throw this out there to anyone who watches this. If I see you on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter pairing a Habanos with a stout, you're fucking dead. I'm going to rip you apart. I'm going to be ruthless. And you will, like, be so ashamed, you will remove yourself from social media.
That's right.
If you commit suicide, not my problem.
You deserve it.
What we did was proof enough of what not to do.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, we threw a fucking cigar and dumped some beer out.
I can't believe you did that, man. That's hilarious.
That's just delivering the message.
It is. You know, I went to this seminar when I was in college, and then it was about a seminar about not to, like, essentially have your love for money. And the lecturer, he took out a $20 bill, and then he lit it on fire, and then he just lit it, and it just, like, you know, ash all over in front of us. Yeah. And then I was like, dude, you're telling me that you shouldn't love money and shouldn't think about money that in that way and shouldn't obsess about it. But that $20 could have, at a minimum, did good work. Could have fed the homeless, could have, you know, treated some good buddies out for a drink or some meal, or cheap meal rather. Should have done something.
Was this in regards to a certain program or just the entire university? Was this like the freshman class?
No, this was actually a Christian group that I was a part of back in the day, and it was a seminar for it. But I left that seminar going, that was not cool. You could have used that money. You should have used that money for good.
I'm just saying that I'm sure when that guest speaker left, listen, I'm a Christian, so if any Christians get offended by this.
No, I am too. I'm just – but I didn't think it was a good move.
I'm sure when that speaker left the house or left the room, went to the back door, he went to the dean of whatever department that was and said, thanks for letting me borrow that $20. Because sure as hell, that motherfucker didn't burn his 20 bucks. And you're right. You're absolutely correct. Dude, that just fires me up. That just gets me rolling. Donate the 20 bucks.
No, I agree. Anyways. So, Seth, what do you think? What do you think about this whole thing? What do you think about this whole experience? It was a bust for you, right?
Yeah, it was fun, though. I mean, it's like fucking a fat chick.
I haven't done it.
You've got to do it just to say you've done it. Hmm. But then when you're all done, you're like, man, wish I didn't do it. But
hopefully she showers beforehand.
I'm kind of glad that I did it. I got that out of it. One thing off the list. I mean, that's just the way it goes. So, no, to be honest, I don't think I'd pair a stout with about anything. But I think it's important to try it out. And I think if people are like, oh, a stout really goes well with this, even a broadleaf or a Mexican wrapper, I'd probably just go with, you know, like an espresso or maybe a mocha or something along those lines. I just wouldn't go down that stout road just because it's such extreme flavor profiles. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like a Russian Imperial Stout is set in its way. That's what it is. I don't think anything mixes and matches with it. It's like a true Russian, for Pete's sakes. I mean, Russians are just, you never know what you're going to get with them. I mean, they're either communists or they're terrorists.
Yeah, or they're Greek Orthodox.
Greek Orthodox terrorists. No, it's just one of those things. that, you know, it's just, it is what it is.
Hey, so you know what I just realized about what I said about basically don't pair any booze with cigars? I just realized that what that said, I just completely shat on a Sig Fed show.
Oh, sharing your pairings? Well, we just shared our pairings, and our pairings did not share.
No, it didn't share. But they do other stuff of like non-booze stuff. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, exactly. They did something with root beer, I think. I don't know. I don't.
Yeah, like a soda one or some shit. I don't know. But
this is one of those things where me is like, if I was like a political person or like a huge sports athlete, I'd have to apologize the next day.
Yeah.
15 reporters, but it's like, yeah, I mean, they've done shit, but it's just sometimes things just don't work out. And that's what happens. That's a part of life. Now, if someone told me, hey, Seth, you know, I think you're completely wrong about, you know, stouts and habanos, I think they pair greatly. And you know what I say to you? Well, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day. So it's just, that's just the way it goes. And, you know, sometimes the idiot gets a touchdown.
Yeah. And you know what, man? Like, you know, of course taste is subjective, but, you know, you and I have been around the block a little while.
No, because that is a loser's excuse.
Huh. And
I'm not calling you a loser.
No, what?
I'm just saying that there's some people out there, I'm just going to be honest with y'all. You have a shitty palate. That's a fact. You just don't know what the hell you're doing. I mean, you think, oh, this is a great cigar. No. You're just a fanboy, or you just don't know how to smoke. And that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm arrogant. I'm just saying I'm better than you.
No, there's an art form to how to taste stuff, how to taste cigars, how to taste booze or whatever. Like, you got to learn that, man, to get the most out of it. And really, dude, some people just don't have a palate, and that's a fact.
Hey, if you love what you love, you love it. But that's, right. You know, that's cool. It's like, you know, for instance – I stopped giving my father-in-law really good cigars because he just doesn't fucking get it.
Nope.
I don't care. I've already got my Twitch in my early years. When I give him a really good cigar, and he only smokes a third of it. He says, that's pretty good. I'm going in now. I'm like, what the fuck? What the fuck is this shit? But you know what? I'm done with that, and it is what it is.
Yeah.
So – I think you and I would say don't pair these with stouts. Don't pair any Habanos with stouts.
Yep, agree.
But I do think we should try it with some triples.
Yeah, I'm down to try that, man. I think, you know, just the nature of Belgians and how they're so, of course, different than stouts. It might work.
You know, we could always go to the opposite extremes of stouts.
What?
Orange cream sodas.
Oh, dude.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of orange cream sodas out there.
I know, but
you never know.
We'll see. Never know.
We could do like Mountain Dew and Sunkist.
Yeah.
Or Mountain Dew and Lemon Drops or whatever the other little
Mountain Dew. Sure, we could drink those and take sperm count before the Mountain Dew and take a sperm count afterwards.
We should do it with some short filler releases. That's what we'll do it with.
All right.
You got to get back to watering your plants and all that stuff. It looks good, man. You're doing a good job watering that plant.
Yeah, that plant
looks healthy.
Yeah, I definitely don't water this. We have people that come in for this shit.
Are you in the conference room or are you in your office?
In my office.
You got a whiteboard. That's awesome. Yeah.
I mean, I have to. I write whatever bullshit that's going to be due and blah, blah, blah. So anyways, thank you guys for listening and watching.
It's our most controversial episode ever.
If you disagree with us, you know, thank you, but you're wrong. You're wrong. Just kidding.
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong for telling them they're wrong. It's okay. Let's stand to our convictions. If you disagree with us, you know what? If you disagree with us, you email us. Email me, Facebook message me. I don't care, whatever it is. And we're going to invite you on the next show, and we're going to have a presidential debate about it. You know why? Because if Donald Trump can get on there and debate with people, so can you. So I'm going to give you the opportunity to look like an idiot for an hour because he has the opportunity to look like an idiot. So
yeah.
Welcome aboard, motherfuckers. Welcome to the big leagues. Right.
Thank you, guys. See you in 2 weeks.
Hasta luego.